Hello there. Welcome to a special edition of the CRA Podcast. I'm Linda Izuka, your host and founder of CRA Today and the CRA Hub. CRA Today helps bankers master the technical aspects of the CRA, get exam ready, and invest capital for the greater good. Today, I share a special episode of the CRA Podcast where I was interviewed by Krista Schonk of the American Bankers Association regarding community development loans. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello and welcome in, everyone. This is the American Bankers Association podcast. Today, we are demystifying community development loans. But first, a question for all of our commercial lending listeners. Do you cringe a little every time your CRA colleagues call you on the phone? Or maybe when their name shows up in your inbox? Especially when you know they want you to hunt down some community development loans that will qualify for CRA credit, which we all know is sometimes, well, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. If you said yes to some of these questions, well, don't worry, you're not alone. In fact, an estimated 90% of banks underreport community development loans for purposes of the Community Reinvestment Act. But there's good news. There are some tips and some tricks that can make your life easier. Today, the ABA podcast will explain how to identify community development loans at origination so that you can avoid the time-consuming and, let's face it, frustrating loan mining efforts on the back end. Our guest today is Linda Izuka, founder and CEO of CRA Today. And I'm your host, Krista Schonk, ABA's VP and Senior Counsel for Fair and Responsible Banking. Linda, welcome to the ABA podcast.
Thank you, Krista. Happy to be here.
So let's get to it. You have spent most of your career in banking and working on community development in particular. Give us an overview of your work over the years and what are you doing now at CRA Today?
Well, sure. You know, I started in the early 1990s and I had the great fortune of working for a mentor that used to be at the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, teaching banks how to do community development work. So when she shifted to the private sector, I had the great fortune of working with her, building a CRA program from the ground up. It was a $13 billion bank, and we got to take all of the community development tools out of the toolbox and try them out. She was very interested in building a world-class CRA program, and we got to do all the things I say, right? We got to help form CDFIs back in the 1990s. We got a CDFI Fund Bank Enterprise Award for the bank, and we created the individual development accounts in partnership with nonprofits. We really got to do all the things, and it was really an amazing time. I got to spend 12 years building this program and navigating a regulatory change back then as well. So that's where it all started. And I fell in love with community development. After my bank experience, I was working with banks, small and large, doing consulting. But then I realized back in 2017 and 18 that our industry really had a gap. And there was a gap in the learning opportunities for practitioner-based lessons and how to run CRA programs. So I created CRA Today to fill that gap and to really help folks in between those great conferences that we go to and those wonderful regulatory roundtables and a lot of those great ABA resources. But I wanted to really figure out how to support the modern day CRA officer with so much changing around them. I basically at CRA Today, I help bankers master the technical aspects of the CRA, help them get exam ready, and help them learn how to leverage capital to drive impact into disadvantaged communities. So I host our flagship CRA Hub membership and a CRA Fundamentals course and certification program, workshops, and customized bank training. So try to, you know, really meet CRA professionals where they're at and support them so that they can get into community and support disadvantaged communities.
So Linda, over the course of your career, I'm sure you have observed how the practice of community development has changed over the years. And as we, you know, think back about how it's evolved, if we were honest, we would recognize that there are times where a bank's overall business strategy and its CRA strategy may not have been that closely aligned or may not have been mutually reinforcing. Rather, CRA was part of the compliance function, and it was very tempting for banks just to cross their fingers and hope for the best come exam time. But that all seems to be evolving. And with our target audience for today's podcast being commercial lenders as well as CRA professionals, why should they care about this intersection between a bank's overall business strategy and what it's doing on the CRA side?
It's a great question. As you know, banks' overall strategy, of course, is to deploy loans, right? Increase fee income, right? And to move through and support their customers. So the commercial lender out there, right? They have a pipeline, they have goals, they're out there to meet the credit needs of their community. And it's just the nature of their work. But then when you really look at the overall goals of the bank, that's where we have to really pause, right? Where we have to, the commercial lender needs to understand the overall strategy and then also understand it in context of community, right? And the community needs out there. So especially now when our banks are in growth mode and we're seeing mergers and acquisitions and our, you know, net assets are growing, the CRA is also changing. So a lot of folks are under more scrutiny to ensure that banks are meeting the credit needs of their community. So the CRA program is more important than ever. There is enhanced oversight and interest in our banks meeting the credit needs, especially with regulatory change. So this is where our commercial loan officers need to understand our CRA program and understand how to support the bank in making sure that the CRA ratings are, of course, the end result on a CRA program, but truly serving the credit needs of the community is where we need to focus. And the stronger the borrower, the stronger the community, and the stronger the bank. So there's a couple different lenses that we need to look at when we're looking at our commercial lending activities as well as our CRA programs.
Let's drill down on some of the particulars here. CRA has several different tests, if you will, or elements that a bank must meet, and that can all be very complicated. And we won't get into all of those today, but oftentimes I hear from banks, particularly community banks, that the community development lending aspect of CRA can be the most challenging for them. So just level set for us, what is a community development loan?
Right, sure. So, you know, community development loans is the most subjective aspect of the CRA. And that's why it's so frustrating. You can't just check a box. You can't just find the FDIC code that magically identifies the community development loan. Basically, what a community development loan is, it's really a unique category where you're taking a loan and you're having to drive down and to try to understand who's the borrower and what impact are you forging. So it's really about the end result. You have to make sure that this loan meets a primary purpose of community development. Now, that could be a little subjective because community development might mean it's affordable housing or that you're financing a nonprofit or that you're financing a small business that retains jobs for lower income people. So all of those aspects of what constitutes a community development loan is subjective. And you have to be able to make sure that you identify a loan and then be able to document it as such as well for the regulator. So again, community development loans tend to be loans over $1 million generally, and that have a primary purpose of community development. And so it's really important that our lenders really understand what that looks like because they're originating community development loans often, but they may not know it. So that is a challenge.
You said that banks need to identify these community development loans and then they need to document them. When it comes to the identification part, you know, I've heard that banks say, oh, you know, we feel like we're, you know, going through this needle, looking for a needle in a haystack when it comes to finding these loans. How can banks avoid getting onto that crazy train? So what practices have you seen that will make it easier to identify these community development loans so they're not wasting all this time looking for them after the fact?
Yeah. So commercial lenders and loan operations, quite frankly, they're really key to identifying community development loans within the financial institutions. The commercial lender understands its borrowers, right? They know the deal best. So you really want to be able to identify or at least say, I think this might count as a community development loan. And to identify it at origination is really the first step. So you want to make sure that your commercial lenders understand how to identify a potential community development loan. Then you have your CRA officer or team come in and say, well, let's take a deeper look, right? Let's see how we might be able to position this as a community development loan. You know, how many employees or what's the primary purpose of this loan, right? So you can take a deeper dive and then document it as such. So, you know, you can identify it at the front end because then you'll reduce the cost of mining for it at the back end. So when you don't identify it at the front end, you're increasing your costs and your risk to your CRA program by trying to find it on the back end. And as you know, our CRA officers that are listening, there aren't enough hours in the day to effectively mine for community development loans after the fact, because you're pulling all the exports of loans and you're trying to go through it. But really, if you have an idea that it might count, then you're halfway there. So really have to make sure that you have a partnership between the commercial lenders, loan ops, analysts, and the CRA team.
So what's that look like in practice? Do bank systems have flags that go up to flag these loans? Are they keeping like an Excel list on the side?
Oh boy. I've seen it all different ways because I've worked with banks large and small. So even those that have that checkbox that say, check here if you remotely think it might count as community development, I've seen it go both ways, that the box is checked and it doesn't count, or the box is not checked and it does. So while I think trying to systematize or raise awareness at origination with a code might be helpful, it really does take the human understanding of the primary purpose of this loan, right? So you really need to have the front line to understand it and to maybe check that box and say, hey, let's take a second look at this together with the community development professionals in the bank, the CRA team. So yeah, there's no perfect way, really. You know, you gotta train again. And then what I also suggest our CRA officers do, that when they identify community development loans, that they send it back occasionally through an email to the commercial lenders and say, hey, did you know that you originated 5 community development loans this quarter? And give them, you know, the list of the loans that they identified, because it's part of the training, right? Because then they'll say, oh, I had no idea. And so it's just continuous communication and continuous awareness around these very unique categories of community development loans for your CRA program.
So you've talked about what banks can do on the front end to be more proactive about identifying these loans and making sure the communication is flowing between the CRA professionals and commercial lenders. But let me ask this or get at this another way. What things should banks avoid, or what are barriers to really maximizing their community development credit on their CRA exams?
Well, I think sometimes we get overwhelmed by it. So many banks underreport this aspect of their CRA program. So they're underreporting their true lending performance under the CRA. So what I say is the art of CRA is not always creating new activities and new loans. It's uncovering what you already do. So I would say you have to be able to have a system of identification, and that you'll want to avoid just assuming that, oh, community development loans are bad loans, or those are in special assets. Really, they're truly profitable loans that you're making on a weekly basis. You have to drill down and look at that primary purpose. So here's the bottom line. There are 3 areas that you can shore up your community development loan portfolio, whether that be the lenders or the professional staff. The CRA officers of the world can do 100% review of your SBA 504 lending portfolio and loans, because they have an express purpose of community development. You can also look at 100% of loans that you may make to nonprofit organizations. They may or may not have a primary purpose of community development, but you have a fighting chance there. The third most underreported community development development hook, if you will, are these loans to small businesses. Loans over $1 million typically to small businesses that also retain or create jobs for low-income people. That area alone, you have your commercial lenders go back and look at those loans in your portfolio because they might have a community development purpose that you can then document and get credit for it. So that's, you know, the most under-reported aspect of the community development loan portfolio. Loans to small businesses that retain jobs for low to moderate income people.
You know, you've given us some really helpful pointers, and I know you possess a wealth of expertise that banks may be interested in tapping into. And CRA Today provides customized community development training for commercial lenders in partnership with CRA officers for banks of all different sizes, as you mentioned earlier. So why don't you tell us more about that and what you offer?
Oh, sure. Well, this is my favorite type of training that I do because I used to be a community development lender. I get it. Our lenders are busy. The loan op teams are working on the portfolio, documenting and deploying, you know, capital out into our communities. And so getting in front of our loan officers, I offer customized training where we take their credit approval memorandums and we dissect it and we say, okay, so how might this count? Let me show you the way. Or what would we need to see to actually make this count as a community development loan? So we start with a 1 hour trainings. That's it. Right. And we usually start with, you know, the CEO launching and we just do 2 hours. That's it. That's all I need. And I always increased a community development loan portfolio for a bank because you're making these community development loans. You're just not aware of how to put your arms around it and to document it. So we train our commercial lenders using their credit approvals, their deals, and we go through it and we identify community development loans. So we cover the CRA. We go over what constitutes a community development loans, and then we take a deep dive into the credit memos. And then we are able to uncover many community development loans. And my favorite part of the training is the follow-up session. So once you're trained and we have an idea of what might count, then a week or two later, I come back and our lenders come in with their portfolio and they say, hey, so would this count? I have this deal or I have this deal. Would that count as a community development loan? And it is so powerful because they not only have the training and the understanding, but then they have the real deals right in front of them and we can talk about it. They're able to increase their community development loan activities as a result. So it's quite powerful. I love it. I love getting right to the bottom line because they're busy, right? And doing just 2 hours, a couple days apart and doing a follow-up session and a couple weeks later. And we build up the community development loan portfolio. I keep it a little fun too.
Yeah. CRA and fun always.
I know, but I'm determined to, you know, make it a little fun along the way. It's really powerful. And I also share with the commercial loan officers that there are other community partners like community development financial institutions or CDFIs that can actually further de-risk potential loans that they want to make in communities, right? And to partner with community development loans to enhance their capital stack, to make the undoable deal doable. And that's another powerful training that I love to do. There's so many tools in our community development toolbox. So I love this work and so inspired to help others understand how they can build a world-class CRA program for themselves.
This has been great. It's been wonderful visiting with you. I know I certainly benefited from hearing your different lessons learned. So thanks for spending time with the ABA podcast today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity and thanks for all that you do in supporting regulatory change. It's a crazy time right now. And thank you for spearheading those efforts on behalf of our industry.
And to our listeners, if you'd like to get in touch with Linda or to learn more about CRA Today, you can look her up on LinkedIn. You can email her at linda@cratoday.com or you can visit CRA Today online. Thanks for listening, everybody, and be sure to watch ABA.com for the next edition of the ABA podcast.
I hope you enjoyed this episode on community development loans. And if you want to take a deeper dive into this subjective aspect of the CRA, we have a few opportunities for you to hone your skills. We have a one-hour community development loan webinar you may be interested in to learn the basics and to learn how to efficiently mine for community development loans using my 5-point framework. And if you haven't visited our website at cratoday.com in a while, you might want to see what's new and different. We are opening up our flagship 10-week CRA Fundamentals course soon, or you may want to join your peers in the CRA Hub membership. And we even now have a certification program for our advanced CRA professionals. Join us as we up-level our CRA programs and navigate regulatory change together. Until next time, bye for now.